the end of the phone who helped me. I went travelling to Thailand once, picked up a parasite. Yeah, horrible stuff. And doctor said there was nothing wrong with you. Went to Christiane, she sorted it. Within weeks, I felt completely better. I'm your treasure girl. So I thought I'd get her on the phone. Talk all things marathons. And then throw it out to you guys for any questions, health-related, that you've got. And she's on the phone. Very good morning, Christiane. How are you?
Hello, Carly. I'm fine. How are you?
Very good. It's so good to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you.
Now, look, I want to talk to you about all of the things that are obviously marathon-related first. And then what I've also done is I've thrown out to some of our listeners to get some questions for you, because I know that more and more people nowadays are becoming more aware of how food affects your health.
Yes.
So coming up to the marathon day...
Yeah.
What do I need to be doing? Because I've started carb loading and I'm feeling a bit weird from it, to be honest.
Okay. Well, I think most people know that if they go on the internet, they can find out all sorts of basics about, you know, the general ideas about carb loading, etc. But with all of these things, the thing that's not really taken into account is the individuality of each and every one. Like, everybody's a different height, different weight. Some people are thin, some people are fat. So, or fatter, so you won't be fat if you're running a marathon. But, so, you know, what most people should, this is probably after the horse has bolted giving this advice, but what a lot of people should have done during their training is to test themselves to see how far they need to run before they run out of the key fuel that they need for this run, which is the glucose, which is what all the carbohydrate loading is about. Because to really run on key fuel, you need to be running on the glucose that's in the muscles, and then there's some stored in the liver as well. If you run out of that fuel, then you start fat burning, and that's the bit where they talk about hitting the wall, because what happens is you run out of fuel, it's almost like stopping your car at the petrol station and then filling up with a different fuel than you were running on before. And then the car has to, like, change what it's doing, and it will run differently. So if you hit the wall and you start running on the fat, your body will be going at a slower pace because it's doing more conversions in the liver, etc. So the key thing about all this carb loading that everybody's talking about is really trying to get the maximum amount of glucose in your muscles and the bit that's stored in the liver ready for the day. So that's your power, your key energy. Now, what I think the mistake that some people make is when they're trying to do this, they think, right, I've got to eat as much carb as possible. But you still have to think about the maths of kind of what you're doing in that day. So usually the few days before the big run, people are not doing as much exercise. They're told to rest. So if you were running, you'd be using up an awful lot of calories. So, you might be using about, on average, 600 calories an hour. But a few days before the race, you won't be using that much. So sometimes people over carb load. So if you put too much glucose into the muscles, more than you need, then what's happening is the body is going to say, oh, well, we don't actually need that fuel. So what we'll do is we'll send it off to the liver and we'll convert it to fat and we'll store it for later. So your body starts building more fat. So that's what I'm saying about... Really, when people are doing something as extreme as a marathon, weeks and weeks before, they should have tested themselves with this carbohydrate loading to see what it is they really need to do for their whole body typing, and then work out what's best.
Okay, now, so I haven't really done that. Like, last night, I thought it'd be a great idea to eat half a packet of biscuits, Christiane, and because it was a carb. It was,
right.
It was a lot of fun. Do you know what I mean? But then I ate a load of sweet potatoes.
Yes. Well, it's also about the type of carbs. I mean, if you forget about the marathon for a minute and you're just talking about building up carbohydrate for general energy, you know, what's it for? About 30% of the energy from glucose in your blood is actually for your brain to keep it going. And depending on what type of carbs you eat, if you eat too many carbs and you haven't got enough of the other nutrients that help sort of balance how it's released into the blood and what the body decides to do with it, you can create huge hypoglycemic swings, which are blood sugar dips. It's like taking yourself on a roller coaster ride of high energy and low energy. So if you ate lots of refined carbs, so easy example is your packet of biscuits, you'd have masses of glucose in the blood, but more than you need. So the body's got to do something with it. So it'll release a massive amount of insulin from the pancreas, which is the kind of carrier and converter to get the energy into cells. And it'll carry it off to your cells and say, hey, do you want this energy? And if your cells don't need it, then it'll trot off to the liver and it will say, liver, what should we do with all this spare energy? So it says, oh, give it to me and I'll convert it to fat. And then your energy actually feels wrong because you get this massive low, and then it makes you start craving more of it. And then you go up and down on this roller coaster ride and you actually end up feeling more tired. One of the things that puts the brakes on the carbohydrate is protein. So even though you need to load up with the carbs, you need a bit of protein too, because the protein will make the energy release at a slower, steadier pace. That's generally speaking. Obviously, on the day of the marathon and the day before, your target is to actually maximize and top up to the brim, if you can, this glucose in your muscles.
So I probably don't need to be doing it all this week. I just need to do it a couple of days before, don't
I? That's it. It is really. And the key is because it doesn't stay there too long because you're burning it all the time. So if you start loading up a week before, all you're going to do is make fat, which is, not what we want. So really the key is the couple of days leading up to it. And the day before is probably where you need to absolutely maximize it. So you need to really get lots of carbohydrate in. And the other thing some people forget is actually the fluid. So your hydration is of such paramount importance, to protect your muscles against damage when you're actually running, etc. And because the first thing to get dehydrated is actually your muscles, and then they'll spasm and they'll rip and tear much more easily. So hydration is just as important as getting this glucose. But on the day of the marathon, I was actually talking to Ed, my son, who he did the Paris Marathon a couple of years ago, and I asked him for a couple of tips because I've never done a marathon and I'm never going to do one because I don't think it's natural. Anyway, that's another story. he said that what he did, because the thing to do on the day is you want to try and avoid this hitting the wall thing, which is almost impossible. But if you get your glucose really up there and you try and maintain it as much as you possibly can during the run, then so you need to take glucose drinks. And he ate, he had jelly beans in his pouch, and he kept eating jelly beans and Haribos and all these things that I tell people not to eat. Obviously, it's an unnatural thing during a marathon, and your aim is to try and get this glucose, this sugar in your blood, keep on going so that you don't actually hit this wall and keep your hydration up, and then you won't go into that swapping of fuel and actually trying to burn the fat instead.
Because it's such a hard balance, Christiane, because what I find is that when I'm running, I'll hit about 10K and then I might have an energy gel, but then what then happens, as soon as I've had an energy gel, it keeps me going for a bit, then I need another one, and I can feel when my body is starting to crave that. So I suppose the jelly bean thing is a great idea.
Yeah.
Although sometimes when you're running, you don't always feel like eating.
No. In fact, your body is actually in fight and flight when you're running, and your digestive system kind of shuts down. And it's not designed to eat. You're not designed to eat and run. So it shuts down. So you actually really can't digest food very easily. So these gel packs and all the things that the health shops design for sport like this are really a good idea, because you can get the glucose in. But the reason you're craving it is because you've run out of it from storage. So you're only literally taking it from that there and then at that moment. So there's no harm once you've got to that point to avoid yourself then hitting the wall, because there's nothing left in storage. It's to just keep taking them as much as you need along the way to actually get you to the end of this totally unnatural process.
Christiane, it's amazing. Thank you so much. Honestly, I've just sat there. I feel like I've soaked up a complete education. We've had some really positive stuff on Twitter. People saying interesting feature on Rinse FM about carb loading for the London Marathon. Loads of runners obviously locked in, and to everybody that's running the marathon at the weekend, I hope that's really helped. What we've also had is we've had a couple of questions from some of our listeners. Is it okay if I put them out to you?
Yeah.
Natasha has said, how is the best way to keep your complexion clear and glowing?
What, just generally?
Yeah, generally. Okay. Have you got any tips or advice?
Is don't eat sugar. The skin is the largest elimination organ that you have. So if you're not detoxing very well through your liver or through your bowel and kidneys, and then the body will say, well, where am I going to get rid of the rubbish? So it goes out through the skin. So people who get a lot of spots and stuff like that, it's often because the body's trying to chuck rubbish out through the skin. So you need to keep the internal workings of your body really well. So, you know, using herbs like milk thistle for the liver as a tonic is really, really good. But from a dietary point of view, a key thing is to keep hydrated and to keep lots of fluid in the body, because that will help you flush out toxins. And avoid things that to you as a unique individual may be anti-nutrients. So if you're eating a lot of, say, chocolate, which is like sugar and fat, it's awful, because all the things we love are not really very good for us. But then, you know, your body will start chucking all the rubbish from that out through your skin. Caffeine is another thing that's not very good. And it's about what your body doesn't suit as a food. So if, for example, cow's dairy products were an intolerance for you, which they usually are with people with anything like eczema or psoriasis, those type of skin conditions, then the body will treat that as a toxin, and the skin problem can easily become inflamed by that process. But there are lots of nutrients you can take to actually help with your skin. Zinc is probably the first thing I'd suggest for everybody. It's an antioxidant, but it's a really, really good thing for your skin, but it has over 400 known metabolic reactions throughout the body, so it's very good for your immune system and all sorts of other processes. So taking zinc, keeping your digestive system healthy is really good too, because then you the good flora in the gut help keep all the toxins under control and keep your immune system working really well. And if you've got another hour, I could stick on this subject. But that hopefully is just a little bit to give a flavour of the sort of things you can do for your complexion.
Amazing. Now, just one last question is, IQ Music on Twitter has asked, have you got any tips for living a gluten and lactose-free life?
For living it?
Yeah.
Well, it's lactose is mainly, the main place it's found is in cow's milk. You can get this in other things as well, but that's the main thing. You can get lactose-free milk, and do you know what? You know, really, cow's milk's for baby cows. It's not for people.
Amen to that.
And a lot of people, you know, in this country, we drink loads of cow's dairy products, and we have osteoporosis. Out in the Far East, they don't have cow's products. They don't have osteoporosis. So people panic if they don't have cow's milk. Their bones are going to fall apart. That's a complete myth. It's, you know, there's calcium in all sorts of other foods, and it's all about the balance of getting calcium, magnesium, boron, vitamin D and phosphorus in the right level to actually mineralize your bones. So to leave out lactose is easy. Just don't have dairy products. And gluten is in wheat, oats, barley, rye and spelt. And in every supermarket, they have a gluten-free section now. It's so much easier than it used to be. And, you know, it's easy to replace grains with, you know, potatoes, sweet potatoes, rice and things like that. And, you know, people think they have to have a sandwich for lunch every day. You don't. You can eat, you know, soup and salad and jacket potatoes with tuna or beans and things like that. And there's loads of breakfast cereals that are based on rice and corn and buckwheat and things that are actually gluten-free. So it's actually really, really easy if you go and pick it out yourself. Your biggest problem is if you decide you want to go to an Italian restaurant every night where, you know, it's all sort of pasta and pizza. But so many restaurants now are actually catering for that, and they're sort of having their own sort of gluten-free pasta in there. And most places want good custom. So if you go and you say, or if you ring up in advance and say, you know, I need to avoid lactose and gluten, they will, if they're a good restaurant, they'll get it in for you. There's a local hotelier here, and he had a problem with all of these products, and they have an Italian restaurant, and now they advertise that they actually have, they'll have soya milk, and they'll have gluten-free pasta and pizza bases and things like that to cater for people with special dietary needs. So you don't have to have an allergy to these products to have a problem with them. Sometimes there's an intolerance. It's just that your body won't metabolize that very well. It might upset your digestive system. It might drain your energy. It might make your skin bad. So, you know, hopefully that's a little bit of help on that one.
Christiane, it's so amazing having you on the phone, and I know that you're going to have loads of more questions come in for you. So anyone that's listening that wants to get in touch and is loving what you've said, because people, you see people one-on-one, don't you?
Yes,
so,
I do.
The best way for people to get in touch with you, is it your website?
It's either my website or the office phone. The website is www.shamrockhealthcare.com.
Yeah.
And the phone number is 01604 677 854.
And you're based up in Northampton, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
Awesome.
So, Carly, it's been great to talk to you, and good luck on Friday.
Thank you so
much. No, it's not Friday, it's Sunday, isn't it?
Sunday, but Friday I might need luck as well.
Yeah.
Now, look, for any of you guys that are listening, I've tweeted the link to Christiane, and if you have any questions, then I'm sure if you send her a little email, she'd be more than happy to help you guys out. Thank you so much, Christiane.
Thank you, Carly. Good
awesome
luck.
Talking.
Good
Thank
luck.
Thank you.
You'll be great.
We'll chat to you really soon.
All right. Take care.
Lots of love. Take care.
Bye. Bye. Bye.